I noticed that those things that live rent-free in your brain, like, I don't really have any true regrets, and I've said sorry to the people I've needed to say sorry to, so I can go to bed well. But I notice all the flashbacks during the day, man, when I'm driving in traffic, when I'm at work, when I'm talking to you right now, I don't think about it. But when I'm laying in bed by myself, or even if I'm laying next to somebody and I'm with my cat and I'm about to go to bed, dude, I've had this thing recently where I've been like seeing my life flash before my eyes, and I'm thinking about memories from 7 years ago. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but it's been like hitting me at night when I'm about to go to bed.
Yeah, well, you know, dude, those are, you know, those are traumatic flashes that pop in, especially if they're not, if you're not having pleasant moments. I mean, I listened to, you know, your interview with Drew Lane, which was fantastic, by the way. And boy, what an amazing success he's been in his career and
Legend.
Still is. And you were, yeah, you were talking about like what happened between you and Mike Calta, and how, you know, your ex-girlfriend was on the air, and they sort of talking about your life. And you know, I mean, I have a good relationship with Mike Calta. I mean, we'll go back and forth a couple of times on social media. He has a lot of respect for me. I got a lot of respect for him. We've been on panels together. And I would say for me, I wouldn't have done that. I don't know what led to all of that, but I think, man, you know, this is a guy's life, and you're bringing the, and this is like real people, real lives. And I used to do stuff like that. So that's why I can't say it was wrong for that to be done. I just know today I wouldn't do it, because I know the pain I felt of having to realize the damage I caused by doing the kind of radio that I did. And I did that kind of radio. So I'm surely not going to judge anybody for it. I just know where I sit today. When I heard you tell that story, I felt so horrible, because it reminded me of all the times that I did similar radio, and I would justify it by saying, this is what you got to do to get ratings. And I can sit here and go, that might have been slightly true, but that wasn't completely true. There were other reasons I was, you know, it's a tough thing, man.
I just had to speak out, because people can listen to it if they go on my podcast channel or on YouTube, because I don't want
to
keep...
It's good. It's
yes,
good.
I just don't want to become like John Melendez and other guys like that, where they keep talking about Stern, or they keep talking about Rover, and all these people that like former co-workers will talk about the shows for clicks. Like, that's the one and only time I'm going to talk about Calta. But it's like, bro, at some point I had to get my side out, because when I'm still talked about for 2 years and people are coming up to me and tweeting at me and they don't know how things really went down, that's when, like, I don't like talking about other people, because I was made fun of growing up and I try to be very low-key as possible. But sometimes, dude, when the opportunity is there and you keep getting brought up on air, you have to speak out, because then you look like a pussy and a bitch if you don't. And I'm not trying to sound like toxic and like manly, but at times, bro, like, you got to speak out when your reputation, because you can't like sue somebody, because like the radio guys in this town that have gone through lawsuits over words, that makes you look like you can't handle it. You got to defend yourself and speak up, and then not do it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, not do it to others and not keep talking about it, because then you're just doing it for clout. Like, if I were to keep talking about Calta over and over, then at some point it's like, well, Hoppy, you got to move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And look, you know, you feel that in your own body, Hoppy, just as human beings. I sure as heck am not going to tell anybody how they need to address things in their life, especially in our business, because, you know, you saw me in 2008, you saw those vlogs. There's a lot of stuff that happened on my show that people don't know what really went down. And I, like you, I used to get pissed because listeners would come up to me and complain about certain things. And I'd be like, look, dude. And I, in my mind, I'm like, they have no idea what's going on. I look like the bad guy here, when in reality, that is so not true. And I really couldn't say anything, because, you know, companies, when things happen, companies will go, look, you work for us and we're telling you not to mention anything about it. And I go, yeah, but I'm getting my ass kicked. I'm the one taking all the arrows here. And, you know, because there's no information, I look bad. So I get it. I get it, Hoppy. You just sometimes got to go out there and say, hey, this is what happened. And I'm tired of people coming at me with untruth. And I will say this as well. I'm just going to throw it out there. And this is a general statement. I'm just going to make this general statement, and maybe this is going to piss off a lot of other broadcasters, but I don't care, because I just feel like it's 2024, if you're doing the kind of radio where you got to make fun of somebody, especially somebody who used to work with you and they're not there anymore and they're struggling and just trying to get a job in a business that could use people that want to be in the business, if you're just like using material about them, making fun of them, I would say, is that the best you got? Then you don't, you're a bad broadcaster. You're really bad at your job if making fun of former employees is the only way that you can entertain. And if your listeners are entertained by that, then you have really low-lying fruit, uneducated, and frankly, not listeners that I want. I wouldn't want those listeners. I mean, to me, I would just think those listeners deserve a better form of entertainment. And I'll stand by that. And look, I used to be that guy. And I was schooled by people, thank God, mentors got to me and said, are you going to be a low-level broadcaster all your life, BJ? Are you going to find the top of your game and then come from that place every time you open that microphone? And that's what I was challenged to do that. And it does surprise me, you know, all these people that are still doing that kind of radio, like Hoppy, my God, it's just like, you know, I don't know what you're doing, It's like, you know, move on, America. It's like, all right, well, you know, Hoppy's doing that and whatever, it's done. But if people are still talking about you years later, you know, especially from, you know, a guy that you were on with, what, maybe 10 years ago or a guy you were on with 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That to me is just lame. It's just lame. And I would say that to anybody, my best friends in the business or people I don't know. I would say you could do better radio than that. Sorry, you can. And if you can't do better radio than that, maybe you should resign and let somebody take the job that can. But unfortunately, our business rewards the wrong thing a lot of times when it comes to broadcasting. They just I'm always dumbfounded by the people that have jobs in this industry. And then I'm dumbfounded by the people that don't have jobs in this industry. And usually I'm a bull in the china shop when I'm at my own place. And I think even iHeart Seattle is probably going like, wow, all right, well, why did we hire this guy? He's kind of just giving us a hard time about things. And it's because, yeah, I'm passionate that I want the best people working for us. And I'm not going to tolerate culture that isn't a winning culture. And I think the kind of culture that would make you feel the way you feel, Hoppy, that you'd have to come out and give a declaration of your side of a story because the culture of the place that's broadcasting is just putting you down. I just think that's ridiculous. I wouldn't tolerate it. I wouldn't let anybody in my show be like that. That kind of bullying culture is BS. And it's radio from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and it's lame. And, you know, it's also lame for other forms of entertainment that's not radio. I mean, we just can't do that. If we're going to be effective, we just can't do that. And it's about time people stand up in the business and say something so that the business can thrive.
Now, in Tampa Bay, obviously, with Bubba, Mike Calta, MJ, Drew Garabo, all that radio war thing has always been like the big thing in Tampa Bay. Everybody thinks about the radio wars. Chicago had it with Mankow and Steve Dahl. Howard had it with everybody he went up against in different markets. Did Seattle ever have, did you ever take part in a radio war?
You know, it's interesting. Seattle's a very, very unique place. It's very collaborative. And when you think about the origin of the Seattle sound, also known as grunge, they all work together. So Seattle just wouldn't tolerate that kind of behavior. Sure, people try to do some different things and all that. But I know that when I got to town and I was as edgy and as shocky as you could be, but still for Seattle, they don't like you being cruel and mean to people. They're big on courtesy in this town. So the radio wars thing that you're talking about just doesn't cut it. I'll tell you, the best example I have of that is that Bubba, you know, because again, I don't know, you know, Bubba is Bubba. I know he's had great success and all that. But
that is the best way to describe Bubba. Bubba is Bubba.
Yeah. He's not what I believe. He's not what I would ever want to be in radio. And I know he's had great success. So, I mean, but I would, you know, I honestly just, you know, whatever he has on his resume that got him there, I'm so happy it's not on mine. And the thing that Bubba tried to do is Bubba tried to come after me. And it was when I first started at KISW, when I took over in 2006 for Howard Stern, Bubba started coming at me and we had a thing. We had a group of people. We had a fan club called the H-Hole Army. And basically I had a thing that I used to call people honest holes. And that's what H-Hole stood for. And then we created this H-Hole Army, which, you know, was basically a fan club. And then Bubba just started coming at me like, oh, you're ripping me up. I've got the Bubba Army. You've got the H. And so, But he, you know, he did it in such a bubble way. And I'm just like a pragmatist, and I'm also very realistic, and I'm very honest. And so if somebody called me up and said, "Hey, I'll tell you what, Bubba says you're a thief," and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, I immediately just said, you know, the problem with Bubba is that he doesn't think I'm going to be completely honest and authentic, because he can't be honest and authentic, just like a lot of radio talent who are shock jock a-holes, just like Howard Stern, who eventually had to be honest and authentic. I mean, Howard has recreated his life, but Howard wasn't always honest and authentic. And he's admitted that, and he's had to apologize to a lot of people because of the fact that he kind of wasn't as honest and authentic as he is today. And so I just basically answered Bubba, said, "Geez, Bubba, I didn't steal that bit from you. I stole that bit from Kiss, you know, like the Kiss Army. Oh, wait a minute. They stole that bit from Arnold Palmer, the golfer, where he had Arnie's Army." And then I just said, "How ridiculous is this Floridian idiot to think that I wouldn't say this?" It's like, honestly, it's like, this is his show. This is why they pay him all that money, so he can be a moron and basically try to go after some guy in Seattle over a bit that he stole and I stole together. It's BJ. Like, that's not our bit. That was neither one of our bits.
No.
And so that, you know, that's why I look at that kind of radio, yeah, and I go, your generation and Zoomers want authenticity. So that kind of radio is so stupid. It's just so stupid. And I really, frankly, I got no time for it anymore. I just don't. So again, yeah, you know, Bubba's Bubba, and, you know, congratulations to whatever the hell he's doing. And, you know, great.
Now, I want to ask you. I want to ask you now, when I've ever responded to Shane Rover French or Mike Cowhead Calta, whenever I tell them the true side, I literally don't hear anything back. Did you hear something back from Bubba when you responded, or did he kind of not respond?
No, he's not going to respond, because, you know, Bubba is not somebody that can, he's just not going to be able to do that. I mean, I give Bubba credit. He knows what his strengths are. Here's what you never do in the world of battle and the world of debate, is you never go to somebody's home field and fight them. And the thing is that I immediately established what my home field was, which is, dude, I'm not going to lie about anything. What do you want to know? I'll tell you exactly where I got this bit, where I got that bit. I made great friends with Kevin, with Bean from the Kevin and Bean show, because it used to be people would play bits and they'd steal them from other stations and they never give them credit. I used to take this stuff and I'd go on the air and go, "Hey, there's a great radio show down in California. And these guys do great bits and I'm going to play it. I mean, I don't have permission, but I don't care. I'm going to give them credit and hopefully they're happy about that." And Bean and I became friends because I didn't know he lived in Washington State. So he used to do his show from Washington State. So he was near me. And he's like, "Hey, man, I just want to say, why are you playing my bits?" And he called me up that one time. And I go, "Hey, man, I'm giving you credit. You're lucky I'm not getting paid to play it." And he started laughing. He goes, "No, dude, you're the only person I've ever heard in the history of this business where you play a bit and give credit to the original show that you got it from." He says, "I love you. Let's get together for lunch." And Bubba knows that about me, if anybody is, that I am not, because that's the Wee school. The Wee school is be honest and tell the truth. Who cares? And Bubba's just not going to do that. He's not going to fight in that arena, because he can't win that battle, because he doesn't know what I'm going to say. He doesn't know what I'm going to be honest about. He also doesn't know what I know about him that isn't necessarily authentic. And he knows I'm going to spill all the beans about myself, which means why wouldn't I spill all the beans about him? And that, just a lot of these fake radio guys are just not going to fight that battle. So I knew I'd never hear from him again, but he stopped bothering me. He realized, okay, this guy, we can't get him to fight the way we want to fight. And finally he realized, oh, and by the way, the guys in Seattle and in Florida, why am I wasting my dumb time even talking about this guy? I don't even know. And eventually he stopped.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where shock jocks are not real. They're not authentic, so they're not going to have an authentic argument with you. Because I noticed they just will say, and this goes with anybody. This goes with Mancow, Rover, Calta, Bubba, Stern back in the day, Opie and Anthony. I'm trying to think of other names, but whatever. Like, whenever the person would respond, you just don't hear back, and they move on. Like, think about Artie Lang. He would keep attacking Howard 10 years ago, and Howard never responded because they don't want to bring to light what they're doing, because then it makes them look bad. You know what I'm saying? They sort of pretend like they're all big and tough and mighty when they have the microphone in their face. But then when the other people have a chance to respond, usually they move on to the next person, because then they don't want to get into an argument with that person, because they know deep down, like, nothing's better, BJ, than when you're speaking out. Like, for me personally, speaking out about somebody and knowing the truth and knowing that I have no skeletons to hide, because I've been pretty honest about my life on the radio for 10 years. And that's the best feeling ever, is like throwing a bomb and knowing I don't do tax evasion. I don't cheat on my exes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have nothing to hide. So I personally don't give a fuck what others say. Because I know if someone says something really bad about me, I'll go, that's not true. Because I know I have no skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, and that's a nice way to live. You know, Wheeze was the one that taught us that. You know, I learned that a long time ago from Wheeze, because some people would ask him. He'd have all sorts of people on the show. He would give me plenty of time to be funny. Comedians would come in and be funny. And eventually, a couple of radio guys asked him, say, hey, Wheeze, you know, are you afraid that if all these people are, you know, shining on the microphone and doing really well, that the company will come up to you and, you know, you know, and you won't get the credit? And Wheeze was so funny. He's like, bruh, I'll tell you when they get the credit, when the bonus comes out. I'll let any MF-er come in BJ. Here and be funny. I'm the one that gets paid. And I learned that from him. He's like, you know, he just was so honest and real about the fact that he didn't care who was funny. He didn't care whatever. He knew at the end of the day that, you know what, he gets paid no matter who's funny on his show. And he was real. He wasn't going to get caught in an argument where, you know, someone's going to be fake and everything, because he would never be fake. And it was so powerful and so freeing to know that you can be that kind of person. If you're 100% real and authentic, at least with how you treat people, how you are, you know, yeah, Hoppy, you're going to be in great shape if somebody comes at you.